Hi, I'm Talissa.
And I'm Rachel, and this is Transatlantic Crime, a true crime podcast that covers stories from each side of the pond. Every week, we will both cover a separate story with a running theme.
Disclaimer, this podcast will contain swearing and details that some people may find offensive. If you are of a sensitive disposition, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transatlantic Crime.
So close.
Happy birthday! This episode is coming out on your birthday!
Thanks, mate! Oh, isn't that like three birthdays now that I've had on this podcast?
I think it is.
But like, I'm 34 now, and I remember turning 30, and at that point I was having like a full-blown breakdown. So I don't remember doing this podcast when I was having a full-blown breakdown about turning 30.
Okay, it or must was have I? Been 31 then.
It must have been 31st birthday. Because I wasn't having a breakdown at that point. I couldn't have done it if I was at that point, is what I mean.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Yes, it must be
How
three.
Do you feel now?
I feel so great. Really happy. That's
wonderful.
That's kind of like what I wanted to... I was going to do an Instagram post about it, and then I was like, there's no way that this is going to come across genuine. Like, I'm just going to sound like such a fucking knob up my own arse, preachy.
No, not at all.
I wrote out a massive post and then I just deleted it. I was like, I don't know, it just didn't feel right. But I remember that full-blown breakdown, and I remember how hopeless I felt, and... Basically, it was all centered around me wanting to get married and have kids. And I was like, I haven't done nearly that. And I'm 30 and time is like slipping away and I'm going to be an old maid on the shelf. And then the other day, I thought to myself, in a nutshell, I had loads of therapy around it. But in a nutshell, I thought, to me now, getting married feels like bricking up a fire door on a room that might burst into flames at any minute. Why the fuck would you make it hard to escape?
You moved past that.
I need my escape route clear and visible. I mean, obviously, for people that are married, that's maybe not funny. But for me, that's such a leap forward.
Yeah.
And I don't want kids in the slightest. And, I've decided that. So over, 4 years, that's how far I've come. Whereas on my 30th, I was fully ready to chuck the towel in. I was like, fuck this. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just so excited for my birthday.
That's
I'm not thinking about anything like that. I'm like, why the fuck would I bog myself down with those kind of thoughts?
Right.
So,
I'm so happy for you, Talissa.
Thanks, mate.
I can see that you're happier too.
Yeah.
What have you got planned for your birthday?
So we're going to a... It's like a truck that's been converted into a house, and it's got a fire pit and a hot tub, and I'm so excited. It's going to be...
Oh, so it's is it a Airbnb kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly that.
Oh, okay.
And it's only 15 minutes away from my house next to this big, lovely lake. So you get a view over the lake, and my parents are coming for the day and we're going to have a barbecue and stuff. But Tom isn't arriving. I could have gone at 4, but Tom isn't arriving till a bit later. And so he would have had to meet me there, and I would have been on my own in the middle of a forest. And because of this podcast, I can't enjoy that in any way possible. People were like, oh, just kill on your own and just sit in a hot tub. I was like, oh, yeah. Go sit in the murder forest. That'll be a lovely birthday. Oh, yeah, everyone will arrive. She probably hasn't got any reception. Just my corpse floating in a hot tub.
I can hear the true crime narrator. Being and this is what I think of every time I do something dangerous or anything like that. I think of the true crime narrator being on her 34th birthday, her body was found floating in the hot tub.
Yeah.
It was the last birthday she celebrated.
It was the last birthday she would ever have. Yeah, that's me. Who's the guy that narrates everything? The guy that did Unsolved Mysteries. We do this every time.
I don't know.
We have to Google shit.
We do this all the time. Oh, well, speaking of, that's actually a good segue because I was going to talk about a show that I've been watching.
Oh, yeah?
That I think is really good. It's, for American listeners, it's on Amazon Prime, and I think it's on AMC Plus, if you have that. Mm. But it's called True Crime Story Indefensible.
Ooh, have you heard of it? No.
It's this woman who, her name is Jenna Friedman, and I think she's a comedian. It kind of reminds me of a little bit of Louis Theroux. Like,
oh, really?
She will go in to a story, and the first episode that I watched was a man who had killed his wife, and he got away with it. Mm-hmm. And she went to this small town, and she interviewed his friends, and she interviewed the different people that had to do with this story. And she was basically like, think of Louis Theroux and his kind of dry and obvious questions.
Yeah.
And how he just walks around and just like ponders things.
Yeah.
That's what she does.
Sounds good.
Where she's like, how could they have been so stupid? Or like, she'll just say like the obvious things that we're all thinking. There's at one point she's like, and of course, everyone knows the husband did it. Yeah. But how did he get away with it? Yeah, if you can check it out there, I would highly recommend it. It's called True Crime Story Indefensible.
Yeah, I will look that up.
Yeah.
I have been watching, there's a third series of this series that I really like called I Am a Killer.
Oh, yeah, you were texting me about that.
Yeah, they just look at one case at one time, like one case per episode, and they really delve into like kind of like the court proceeding-y part really, and they talk to the person as well in detail, and they are like, why did you do it, and do you think you deserve to be in prison, or do you think you deserve the death penalty that you got and stuff. The one I was texting you about was this guy who like murdered an 81-year-old woman, but like at the beginning he's just going, I mean, he's got like crazy eyes for a start. I think like one of his eyes, I think it looks like he might have been attacked in prison or something, because when you see pictures of him when he was younger, he looks like completely normal. And then when you see him in prison, he's got like one eye that's almost like completely white and you don't know why.
This is what I was saying last week about, he's the type of person where I'll look at him and I'll be like, okay, you've got bad vibes. Like,
yeah.
I don't need to...
well, like even talk to you or to know.
You don't... Yeah, exactly. I don't need to spend time like trying to figure you out. I already know.
Yeah. And he's quite like skittish in the way that he talks. And you know how like murderers and criminals kind of say stuff that's absolutely fucking outrageous that you would never do, but they say it in like the most casual manner. Like, so I was just walking to this shop and I was just, you know, getting a pint of milk or whatever. Like he's like, so I set fire to my house and then I just started masturbating and it's just like, what? Like,
it's like talking about like, what you were watching on TV yesterday.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, so I just went to the supermarket, just picked up a couple of things. You're like, pardon? Like, you were doing what? How are you wanking at a fire? Anyway, so he says he was wanking at a fire and then he says, and then I got into like my crack phase and you're just like, dude, if anyone's going to be a murderer, it's you. His defense is like he has different personalities and one of them does bad stuff and one of them doesn't, which is like a raging debate in true crime, isn't it? Like whether that actually exists.
It is. I mean, people do have multiple personality disorders, but at what point, you know,
it's a defense for a lot of criminals, isn't it? They use it.
It is. Yeah. And I think for it to be legit, you have to have had proof before you did all the bad stuff.
Yeah, and he kind of does, like, anecdotally, but you're like, that person, like, he's like, oh, my teacher said I was doing this. It's like, well, your teacher isn't here to prove that happened. So
right.
Even if you are the kind of guy that has a different personality that flips out and murders 81-year-olds, like, maybe you shouldn't be out on the street, you know?
Right.
Like, they were saying, oh, his risk of reoffending is really low. I'm like, how do you know?
Yeah.
But I guess you don't know that with anyone. Maybe. I don't know. Especially when the death penalty is involved.
Just keep them in their cell. That's it.
Yeah.
Make them think about what they did.
He was just crazy, though. But yeah, that's a really good series.
So you would, and it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, yeah, which I went to log on to today, and it was like, there's too many people on your Netflix. And I was like, you fucking scroungers.
Okay, well, another podcast that I've been listening to before we get into our story this week, I've been binging hardcore on American Scandal on Wondery.
I've seen that. Isn't it like just one thing per episode?
No. Okay, there's like 40 seasons.
What?
Yeah. And each season just varies in how many episodes there are. So I re-listened to, they did a special encore season of the Waco, Texas, everything that happened there back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And that was really good. And then there's a special, if you have Wondery, if you pay for Wondery, which I just do now, I guess.
I think I'm gonna, they've fucking got me in hook, line, and sinker because they're caught there. It's like, stop making such quality content.
I know, stop it.
Yeah,
or
stop
have
it.
Us join you and we can have it for free. But they have a special season that's recent and it's about like dirty cops and a dirty cop Ooh. Story. So I just started listening to that. But if you just want something to binge on, this has so many seasons.
That's a good tip.
And I also love, I think I'm addicted to the narrator's voice. The guy who's like the main Wondery guy.
Yeah.
I think his name is Lindsey Graham.
Yes. He does have a nice voice. Didn't he start on some, wasn't that Up and Vanished? Didn't he start on that and solved the Tara Grinstead murder?
I'm not sure if he solved anything. I don't think that's him.
Okay. But yeah. Oh, also in the true crime news, there's the podcast, The Teacher's Pet.
Yes.
So that's about.
What's the news, Talissa?
The news is the husband in that very fucking clearly murdered his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And like they just couldn't prove
and
it.
And got away with it. Got away with it for like years. What, 20 years? 40 years.
Something mental like 40. But he denied it, obviously, and they didn't have the technology at the time to prove it or anything like that. Anyway, yet again, podcast comes in to the rescue, does all the fucking research, does all the work on a cold case, and then the police are like, oh yeah, we've arrested someone. It's like, oh, what a coinky dink.
How convenient.
Although it is good news. That's what ultimately we want. Like, we're acting resentful, but like ultimately I do want the crime solved.
Well, it's just frustrating when clearly the police didn't do their work and somebody else who isn't a professional in doing this came in and did it.
I think what annoys me most is when the police go, don't get involved, you'll fuck up the investigation and stuff like that, when so many crimes have been solved.
Right. And then what's the investigation? Are you guys actually putting time into it? Is it an actual investigation? Or are you just saying that?
There's a really good example of this in like True Crime Bullshit, that podcast I absolutely adore and won't stop going on about. He did a load of research on an Israel Keyes potential victim that he was like, I am so convinced that this guy has been murdered by Israel Keyes. Like, they gave the police a load of evidence and they said, can we please do a FOIA, like a Freedom of Information request, for the case files? And they were like, okay, like, leave it with us. And then they went back to them and said, okay, can we have the case files? They were like, no, the case has been reopened. Oh, has it now?
Oh. How convenient.
How interesting. I don't know. It's just mad. Like, I don't know if you'll even get any credit for that.
Right.
Oh my God. It shows how close you are, but it also shuts down any chance of him fully proving it himself, you know?
Right.
And then the worry is the police will open the case again and do nothing with it.
Yeah, it'll just sit there and then, it's frustrating. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
But also amazing when a podcast does it and somebody gets arrested, like the Teacher's Pet guy.
Yeah. Fucking so cool. And also there was a murder of Kristen Smart that recently, that case got reopened because of a podcast. There was a guy who just made it into, I think he made it into like his college project or something, his investigative journalism project. And then that guy, the guy who murdered her, clearly got arrested.
Ooh, I'm going to look up that podcast because that sounds
so
great.
Good. I think it's called In Your Backyard or something. That's a really good binge as well. And he gets right in there. Like, he goes to their houses. Like, he's great.
Amazing.
Okay, we should crack on because I've got to go and not get murdered.
in the woods.
Yeah. I have a quick last order of business.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Carly and I recorded a special Patreon episode. So if you'd like to listen to that, that'll be up this weekend.
I haven't even heard it.
Yeah, we just talked about aliens. That's what we talked about. So
seriously, Carly was like, oh my God, Rachel told me so much good stuff, right? So there's this like, there's this spot in Nevada where alien, I was just like, oh my God, no wonder she wanted to talk to you about it because I would have died laughing.
Exactly. That's the whole reason that we did this was because Talissa laughs in our faces about anything supernatural. So we needed to talk to each other. And it's funny too, because we started the episode where we were just like, we know each other because you talk about us, you know, to each other. But that was pretty much probably the second time that we've spoken like in person to each other.
And now you're best buds.
We're best alien supernatural friends.
You're like Mulder and Scully.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I'm so happy for you.
So, yeah, sign up to our Patreon if you want to have a listen. And that's it. I think we should get into our episode this week. What's the theme?
So I did have a theme already, but then like, you know, when you look over a story again and you're like, there's really not that much in here. Mm-hmm. I was like, fuck. Yeah. So I just decided that I was going to carry on with your island theme. Bound to be something like interesting going on. And then when I was looking around, I realized there was a murder that happened this year that was super relevant. But in England, it didn't get as much attention, I don't think, as it should have, because there was something that overshadowed it. So today I'm going to talk about the murder of Aisling Murphy. Does it ring any bells?
Yeah, that was quite recent.
Yeah. Oh, am I saying, I mean, Aisling. I looked up how to say her name and I'm pretty sure it's just Aisling. I know, and it's spelled A-S-H-L-I-N-G. It's not like Eiling or...
sometimes it's silent, so it'd just be like Ashley.
Okay.
But as a non-Irish speaking person, it's okay if you pronounce the G.
Yeah, like I have Googled how to say it and stuff, and that's what it said. So I really, really, really apologize if I'm wrong, but I did try and look it up and looked at the news and stuff.
It's okay. We have a whole episode where I completely mispronounce the name of the main person in it, and that was, I think, like our second or third episode or something like that. So
It happens to the best of us.
It's okay. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
Okay. I still feel bad about it.
Oh. Okay. So Aisling Murphy was born on July the 6th, 1998. Oh, wow. Baby. Yeah. Oh, God, baby. I'm old. Right. So in a place called Blue Ball near Tullamore. So Tullamore is in the county town of County Offaly in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And it's on the Grand Canal, which is in the middle of the country. She grew up with a brother and sister and her parents, Ray and Kathleen Murphy. She was a really accomplished violin player and she was really musical in general. Like she was learning to play new instruments all the time. But she played like traditional Irish fiddle, not like concert violin.
Love that.
Yeah. My friend Tess, who I went to uni with, did that. And it's just like incredible to watch.
I love it. I love Irish music.
Yeah.
And I had a friend like that in Ireland, and she could play all kinds of instruments, and I just thought it was amazing. And then you just turn up at a pub, any pub in Ireland, and somebody's like playing these amazing instruments, and you're just like, where am I?
I know. It's just fucking magical. And like the fiddle as well, like it looks so difficult to play. There's no frets. Like, what the fuck is going on? And two, it's all very like ad lib, isn't it? Like they just play like whatever. So
yes,
she was so good that she was a featured musician at the Tullamore Tradfest, which was a traditional Irish music festival. So she was booked to play festivals and stuff. And her music teacher, she was called Attractor Brady. She said about Aisling, She was a gifted musician. She was my fiddle pupil from the time she was 5 years old. She came into me carrying a very small fiddle, but it was still too big for her. And she was exceptionally
so cute.
I know. That's when you want to get them, when they're five, and then they're fucking amazing. Yeah. But it was still too big for her, and she was exceptionally musical. She was very conscientious, and she was absolutely enthusiastic about the music. She never came to me with a tune that she hadn't learned properly.
Aww.
So that's, yeah, she was obviously very studious. She graduated from Mary Immaculate College in Limerick. What an Irish name. Mary Immaculate College.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Those names.
And then she graduated with a primary school teaching qualification, and she started teaching at a national school in Durrow, County Offaly, in March 2021. So she'd only just started teaching at primary school. And I know, yeah, like, looks don't matter when it comes to victims, but she is gorgeous. Aww. She's just a beautiful Irish pixie, basically. She's so, so beautiful. And
somebody who you would love to have as your primary school teacher, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm sure, like, the little girls want to be her. Like, the little boys adore her. Yeah, she just looks so wholesome. Yeah. So, at this time, she was dating a long-term boyfriend called Ryan. His second name is out there, but I was like, what is the point in saying his full name? Like, he doesn't need that. So,
yeah,
on Wednesday, the 12th of January this year, she was jogging along the Grand Canal in Tullamore at about 3 p.m. when she'd finished work. And then at about 4 p.m., she was approached by a man on Fiona's Way, which is a canal walkway. And this is really eerie, because Fiona's Way was named after a young Irish woman called Fiona Pender, who went missing while she was pregnant from that exact spot in 1996.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fiona disappeared without a trace, and to this day, she's never been found.
Wow.
There's a memorial statue for Fiona Pender, and opposite that, Aislinn got attacked.
That's so sad.
It's fucked. So two women who were also jogging along on the opposite bank of the canal, they witnessed her being assaulted, and they ran to the nearest house to phone the Gardaí, which is the Irish police, obviously.
Yeah.
They couldn't do anything because they were on the other side of the canal. So
Right. It's
not like they could have...
Yeah.
Helped. Oh, how horrible.
That's so frustrating.
I know. So when the Gardaí arrived, they found that Aislinn was no longer alive, and she had been beaten and strangled to death.
Wow. They must have turned up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
For the two women to go call the police, and then they immediately came out. That's so sad.
I know. I mean, even if it was like a guy on the other side of the bank, what can you do? Like, I guess jump in the canal?
Or
can you jump in a canal?
Like, yell and be like, I see you. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, try and, like, scare him away in that way. Man, what can you do when you have no way of getting to that person?
That's horrible.
And even as two women, even if it was happening right in front of you, what also can you do?
I don't know. I really don't know. And this was obviously a ferocious attack.
Mm-hmm.
So they believe that she fought for her life and tried to defend herself by using her keys, which is so fucking annoying because, you know, as women, everyone's like, you put your keys between your hands when you're...
Yeah.
She had probably done that. Otherwise, why would you have a key right in your hand?
Right.
She was probably running with her keys in her hands. They tell you to.
As we all do.
Yeah.
As we all do to make us feel more confident that we can face something.
And it didn't fucking help. Which is awful.
It's just
awful.
It is awful. It's just it's an obvious thing where it's just like, no matter what, men can overpower a woman.
Yep.
Like, that's just it. It doesn't matter if you have mace, or if you have keys between your knuckles, or even if you have a gun, like, a man can come up and grab you and be stronger than you, and that's it.
Yeah, they're just taller and bigger, like, for the most part.
Yeah.
99% of the time. So next to her was a Falcon Storm mountain bike, and it didn't belong to her. So huge piece of evidence left behind. And earlier that day, another woman had reported that she was being followed by a man on a bike in Tullamore 2 hours before Aisling was killed. Wow. So this guy has been creeping about, following people all day. So that's unnerving. But they found CCTV footage of the bike on the day of the attack and the rider. So they have a lot of evidence.
He doesn't sound very smart.
No, this sounds like a crazy person. They also found DNA evidence of the alleged perpetrator on Aisling's body. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means blood or body fluids or hair. It could be any of those things. Right. She sustained serious injuries consistent with a violent assault, but her cause of death was officially listed as strangulation.
Okay.
The Guardian announced that they were looking for a lone attacker who wasn't known to her. And based on initial descriptions of him, the Guardian arrested a 40-year-old man, but then he was eliminated from the investigation. And he later... Oh. Yeah, so that was just a red herring. And he later spoke to the Irish Independent and told them how even though he was eliminated, he received ongoing online threats and harassment from the general public.
I'm sure he did. Ireland is such a small place that it's so easy, even if they don't release your name there, it's so easy to find out who it is.
Well, this kind of links into the next point because on the 14th of January, the Gardaí identified another person of interest because a man had visited Talalght. Yeah. Hospital in Dublin with serious injuries on his face and hands that he was unable to explain. And they looked like defensive injuries. So like somebody had scratched his face, scratched his hands, like nails. They were like, what is all this? And he just didn't have anything to say.
I would love to know what he did say.
Okay. So I'll tell you later, but tell you that. It comes to light basically. So. Okay. He also had links to the Tullamore area, which raised suspicion with the nurses, and they called the Gardaí. So it just goes to show they're like, where are you from? And he's like, Tullamore. And they're like, right, that's it. Like, I know you. Yeah. I know that everyone you're fucking, I know everyone you're dealing with. I know that there was a murder there. Like, everyone knows everyone's business.
No, so, and also, like, it's like, everyone has connections to Dublin, so it's like the nurse in Dublin is like, right, I'm calling my cousin in Tullamore, and I'm going to see if they know who this guy is.
Yeah, it seems like that's what happened. So his injuries were so bad that he was actually admitted to hospital. So the Gardaí weren't allowed to question him until he was back to full health. So in the meantime, they carried out a background check on him, which, I mean... Obviously, I know I was just saying that her keys didn't do it, like, you know, it didn't save her, but she obviously scratched the living shit out of his face. Like, good for her.
Good.
Caused him injury to the point where he had to go to hospital. And that obviously really helped in the investigation. Like, they maybe would have caught him anyway, but, like, if you can leave massive marks on your attacker, that's obviously a good thing.
Yes, good job.
Any injuries on your face, people are going to be like, so what's up with your face?
Yeah.
It can't be helped.
I just watched this movie. It's an old movie. This is a little bit of a tangent. It's called Freeway, and it's with a very young Reese Witherspoon and Kiefer Sutherland.
Okay.
And it's like a exploitation movie. He plays the I-5 killer.
Ooh.
Or like a version of it.
Yeah.
And he tries to kidnap and rape Reese Witherspoon. And she just, like, shoots him a bunch of times and she beats him up. But he lives. I'm telling the whole story. I've not heard
of this movie, so. I don't think it's like, blockbuster of the year.
It's not my type of movie, but I'm trying to, like, watch older movies that I don't really watch very often just to, like, experience new things. Mm-hmm. But throughout, like, the last half of the movie... His face is completely disfigured and he has like a voice box as well.
Good.
And he just looks ridiculous. to the point where you're just like laughing at it. So yeah. That's what that reminds me of when you say like, do something to the guy's face if they're hurting you or fuck if they're doing something up. To you.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Fuck their face up like Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah.
What's the movie called again?
Freeway.
Freeway. Okay. Well, might add it to the list. Mm-hmm. So.
I don't know if you'd enjoy it.
But you're like, I've watched it and I don't know if you should. Thanks for taking that bullet for me, Rach.
No problem.
So they did a background check on him and I don't know what was in the background check. I've tried to find out and I just can't. It's nowhere. So okay. I think it's because, oh, do you know what? That's giving away the story. Don't worry. So yeah, I just can't find it. And this led them to search two properties that they were aware of him living at, a house in County Offaly and a house in South Dublin. They also seized two cars, one of which was a taxi who they believe transported him to the hospital. So they called around all the taxi firms and figured out which one took him to hospital and then seized that taxi.
Wow.
So I'm supposing just in case there was some blood on him from Aisling that would then be mixed with his in the taxi, which would just be the perfect evidence. So, that, I mean, that's a pretty good investigation.
Yeah.
They also looked into his phone and they were speaking to his relatives to try and ascertain his movements on the 12th of January. So that they could say to him, like, where were you? And see if he lies.
Mm.
They also continued to look around the canal area to try and recover discarded weapons that they were unable to find. In some news reports, it says it was a knife. But it doesn't say that in every news report. I know, like, from watching that Untold story about the girlfriend that never existed.
Yeah.
And they were saying they looked at loads of newspapers and some of them reported different dates and some of them reported different stuff. Yeah. And like, ever since I've seen that, it kind of made me think, take it with a pinch of salt if it's not in every report.
Oh, yeah. All the time. I find that when I'm researching stories for this podcast where I'll see one little line of something and it'll be like, that's super interesting, but nobody else mentions it. Yeah. So is it a legit thing?
Exactly. But okay, let's say that it was a knife that they're looking for. Yeah. That makes me think that's how he stopped her and scared her and, you know, so she didn't just like run off or that's how he was that's how he managed to like take her kind of hostage to like start the
situation.
Subdue her. Yeah, subdue her. That's the one I'm looking for. So that evening they released a statement for the public who may have been in the area on that Wednesday, January 12th at around 4 p.m. And they said, did you see a man dressed in a black tracksuit top with no hood, black tracksuit bottoms with a large white stripe or white writing on the side and black runners? I'm assuming they mean like running shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're appealing for more sightings of this man.
Okay.
So then on the 18th of January, Aisling's funeral took place at St. Bridget's Church in rural County Offaly. And she was buried in Lowerton Cemetery, Mount Bolas. The funeral was attended by the Irish Prime Minister, Michael Martin. And the Irish Prime Minister has a name, like a title, begins with T. And I was like, I cannot fucking read that.
it's easy to pronounce once you know. It's just pronounced Taoiseach.
Taoiseach. Right. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it was like,
you want to spell it. So
I just took it out of the story because I was like, fuck, that's a long
you
word.
Did. It is hard to read if you don't know how to say it. It is spelled T-A-O-I-S-E-A-C-H. So Taoiseach.
That's a lot of vowels.
It's a lot of vowels. It's like Welsh.
Yeah. So it was like so it said like Taoiseach Michael Martin and I was like, that can't be his name. That can't be his whole name. And then I Googled Taoiseach and it said Prime Minister. I was like, oh, the Irish Prime Minister. Okay, that must be the Irish word for it. Yeah. So so he attended her funeral and the Irish president did as well, and the Irish Minister for Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And her family and her boyfriend said at the ceremony that they had been robbed of their most precious gift. So that's so sudden, like.
Yeah.
So on the same day as the funeral, the male suspect was discharged from hospital and immediately arrested on suspicion of murder. And on the 19th of January, he was charged with murder. So then his name could be released to the press. Mm. So that man's name was Joseph Puška. He's from Slovakia. So
okay.
I don't know if I'm saying this right. I apologize if not. But he was 31 years old and he was originally from Slovakia, like I said. At the time, he was receiving £166 a week in disability benefit. So he didn't have a job, which kind of explains why he's able to like skulk about and look for people. That evening, he was brought to court to be charged and he was heckled by a large crowd that had gathered. And Ashling's family stood in the front, stood in front of the court. They weren't heckling. They just stood in front of the court with framed pictures of her.
Aww.
And I've seen some footage and it is like a mob outside the court, like ready to fuck him up. Yeah, super angry. The court heard that the accused was charged with murder at 7:42 p.m. that day, to which he replied, no.
Okay.
Basically, he pleads not guilty, which is so fucking stupid because...
It's like the my story last week.
You're banged to rights. What are you doing?
The evidence is clear, and yet you still think that you can get away with this. Like, what planet do you live on? This is the correct planet because there is a possibility yeah. that you could get away with it.
Yeah. He was remanded in custody at Cloverhill Prison and set to appear again at Cloverhill District Court on the 26th of January. I mean, she was murdered on the 12th and 6 days later, they've got someone in custody.
Right.
6 days later, those fucking marks on your face wouldn't even be healed.
No.
You're turning up to court with a fucked up face.
A black eye.
And you're still like, nope. Anyway. So... Yeah. Due to issues with translation, like he needs a translator, a full-blown translator the whole time, which is completely fair because if you're from Slovakia, you're not going to know legal words. Like you might not know like our legal system and stuff. And like people who read The Sun and trashy newspapers like that like might be like, oh, spending our money on a translator. Ugh. But... if he's not spoken to properly, there's every chance he can come back and say, I didn't understand, so it's a mistrial, or I get an appeal, you know?
Right.
So it's in the best interest to make it extremely clear exactly what he's being told, so that he can't weasel out of whatever he's been accused of.
Yeah.
I just got the impression, the way it was written in the paper, like, oh, like, he needs a translate, like, you know, really xenophobic kind of tone to it. And also like he's changed lawyers a couple of times as well. The proceedings dragged out quite a bit, and it wasn't until the 25th of April that the Central Criminal Court set a date of the 6th of June 2023 for the trial. So we'll have to pick it back up when we find, I mean, he's guilty for fucking sure, but still,
right,
it'll be interesting to see what he has to say for himself.
So
obviously, with Sarah Everard having been murdered the previous year, it caused public outrage that women were unable to simply walk home or jog alone without being murdered, which we know anyway. So
yeah,
hopefully it actually like brought it to the attention of some men that were that believe it's okay, or that don't believe it's as dangerous as it is for women.
Right, exactly. Like, it doesn't matter where you are or how safe you think you are. If you're a woman,
you ain't.
Even in broad daylight, like exactly. This story,
it's 4 p.m. it's broad daylight and there were witnesses, and he still did it. And again, with Sarah Everard, her killer, I think he was called Wayne Cousins, okay, it wasn't broad daylight, but there was shit ton of witnesses about. And he just tricked her.
Was there anything else about this Joseph guy, like what past convictions or anything like that?
That's what I was saying. I couldn't find them. But there was something, they hinted at the fact that there was something in his past that made them go, right, this is the guy.
Okay.
Because.
Actually, it's interesting because having been in Ireland the past couple of weeks, I did find that privacy laws are really hardcore. Like, Talissa, you know me. You know that I could find someone's address
nickname.
I could find whatever through their social media, through anything. I couldn't do that in Ireland. It's really hard to do stuff like that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So for him to not even have prior convictions like in the news or anything like that. It's probably due to privacy laws.
Yeah. I think whatever they did find out made them, because they got a search warrant for his house. So there must have been something in his past that warranted looking into it further, because you can't get a search warrant without real proof.
Without substantial.
Yeah. Right. You can't get a search warrant just because you think it's the guy. You have to have good reason. So I think the scratches on his face along with his past convictions probably got that through. So that's pretty interesting. So
yeah,
the fallout from this was the Minister for Justice, Helen Mekante. I can't fucking read today. Like, I can't. So many names, so many new words I've never read before.
Many vowels.
Helen Mekante, I'm going to say, is her name.
Okay.
She described the circumstances of Aisling's death as every woman and family's worst nightmare, which I would say is a fair appraisal of her murder. And Women's Aid Ireland demanded a policy of zero tolerance of violence by men against women. And they published statistics compiled on the unlawful deaths of women in Ireland since 1996, which I haven't got, but I'm sure we could find pretty easily and put on the socials. But I'm sure they're just really fucking depressing. So I don't know if I even want to look at those. To honour her life, on St. Patrick's Day this year, more than 100 traditional musicians gathered in Tullamore for a 23-hour jam session. 1 hour for every year of her life.
Aww.
And that was on a float in the Tullamore Parade. And that was organised by Aisling's old music teacher.
Oh, that's nice. So nice.
And then the Irish Prime Minister, he attended a vigil organised by the National Women's Council of Ireland in Dublin, where a minute's silence was held at 4:30 p.m., close to the time Aisling was attacked. And then in response to the killing, the Minister for Justice, Helen Mekante, she brought a memo to the cabinet on new legislation which would make stalking and non-fatal strangulation alone offences.
Okay.
So non-fatal strangulation is a standalone offence. So it's like a separate offence to assault. And okay. I think that's because the levels of assault go up dependent on whether you've broken the skin.
Okay.
Which seems so ridiculous. Because I was watching this program on domestic violence because I just, you know, watch fucking cheery stuff like that in my spare time.
Yeah.
And there was a woman and she'd been, I mean, beaten black and blue. Like, she was covered, like head to toe covered in purple bruises. Mm. And they said, oh, we can't make it. I think it's grievous bodily harm and actual bodily harm. They were saying we can't make it actual bodily harm, which is the harsher sentence of the two, because he didn't break any skin
because there's no blood.
Yeah. That's, which is fucked. I have what a fucked rule.
I have like anger a ball burning of rage in my
I know
right now.
I know.
Yeah.
So I think that's why she said non-fatal strangulation is a standalone offense. It doesn't come under the umbrella of ABH or GBH, which I think is a good rule. Right. Because to me, that's like attempted murder.
Yeah. What are you trying to do when you're strangling someone?
Exactly.
There's only one outcome from it.
Yeah, exactly that. So she said new laws to include stalking as a specific criminal offence would be published before Easter. And the law will make it clear that stalking includes watching or following a victim, even when the victim is not aware of it. And she wants to make sure
that's so hard to prove, though.
I know, but say, like, they find on their phone videos of them, like, videoing you and you didn't know. You could put that.
Yeah, or CCTV. Yeah. That's true.
You could put that in as evidence. And she also wanted to make sure that it covered all forms of modern communication, because I'm sure there's stalking laws that don't include wording about texting and internet and Facebook and da-da-da, because that's also new. So, yeah, she's on it. She's trying, which is good. And
it's a step.
Yeah. And that is the story of Aisling Murphy.
Wow. I remember when it happened, but I didn't look into it too closely. So it's good that you had all the details from it. And now we can all keep an eye on what happens in the next year when he goes to trial.
Definitely. And also, there was... it's really annoying. Basically, when Sarah Everard got murdered, it was during COVID and lockdown. And yes. lots of women went on a march for women's rights. Mm-hmm. And some of those women were assaulted by police officers on the march and yeah. thrown to the ground and just treated with like ridiculous amount of overzealous physical like intervention. And
yeah.
they then got accused of like breaking COVID rules, which I mean, technically they were, but they were on a protest because a woman got fucking attacked like during COVID.
Yeah. It's understandable.
Yeah. And also, it's best we go out in a group because look at what happens when we go out alone. Oh, yeah, I'll just exercise exactly. on my own and get fucking attacked.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just come out that their charges have been dropped. Amazing. Rightly so. Like, rightly so.
Yeah.
Like, how dare yeah. you even exactly. attempt. Exactly.
Come on.
But yeah.
We're angry. Let us have our anger.
Women can't be angry, Rachel. It makes us bitches and it makes us too powerful. And I can see your face is like getting red.
It's too uncomfortable.
Oh, she's just a bitch. She's on her period. Oh, what's wrong on your period, are you? No, you're just a cunt, mate. As per. Period or not. There was some protests in Bristol. And I think the Bristol police are just so used to protests, they don't even fucking bother going anywhere near you. And I saw loads of placards and it was like a joint protest for Sarah Everard and for Aisling Murphy. And it said on them, she was just going for a run or she was just going for a jog. Mm-hmm. Like there was loads of placards that said that. And I was like, another woman was attacked? For fuck's sake. And then that's what made me look into it, was seeing the pictures of the placards. Sorry,
I'm glad you did. I'm glad that you... No, I'm glad that you brought that story up. And it's just true. It's like when I was in Ireland, I don't know if I said this last week, but at one point I met up with my brother in town and we had a couple of drinks and then it was nighttime and I asked him to walk me home and he was like, this is Galway. Like, what's going to happen?
Well, I'll tell you.
Yes, I have many stories that I can tell you. That attitude is still out there by men of like, this is safe. It's safe. What are you talking about? It's 9 p.m. And it's just like, well, clearly it's not, no matter where you look or who you are.
Yeah, like, it's apparently not. I need a male escort now, which I need a male escort to go to my fucking truck that I booked for my birthday. I can't go to that without Tom. And then Tom was like, oh, it's okay, they'll kill us both. I was like, no, because you'll probably save me.
Two is better than one. Yeah. And one man in that two is better than
two
one
women.
Woman any day.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you know what annoys me as well? It's like, people are like, oh, you want equality? Then walk home alone. It's like, I can't do that until men stop attacking us.
Right.
Something That's has to silly. Change on your end first.
Yes. Look at yourself. Stop pointing at us.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, fuck this.
All right, well.
That's my sign off today.
Thank you for leaving me with this ball of rage for my weekend.
No. Speak to some, who's a nice man you could speak to? I'm fresh out of ideas.
I'll find someone.
Okay.
But yeah, thank you. Also, we have our long weekend, so we have our own silly Sunday because it's Labor Day this weekend.
What are
so
you doing?
Anyone who... I'm probably sleeping, Talissa.
Oh yeah,
to be
as
with
per
you.
The previous episode's discussion, like I will be asleep or
I will
visiting elderly relatives who may die soon.
Yes, I will hopefully be sleeping in. And anyone who's listening, who's hungover or who's having a barbecue, I hope you enjoy your Labor Day weekend. And Talissa, I hope you enjoy your birthday.
Thanks, pal. I'll let you know all about it next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing.
Then. All right. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Transatlantic Crime this week. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, You can find us on Twitter at TransatCrimePod, Instagram at Transatlantic Crime, and on Facebook with Transatlantic Crime Podcast.
Thanks, bye.